Hello and welcome to the Fire Up Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Trapin. I'm so thrilled to share a new mini-series here on the podcast called Spill the Tea. Join Molly McKinley and me for conversations about being intentional and confident in uncertain times and beyond. Molly is the CEO of Intentionalities and host of the Afternoon Tea Podcast. So in honor of our shared love of tea, pull out your sassiest teacup, brew your favorite tea blend, snuggle into your coziest spot, and listen in on this hour of togetherness. Get ready to hear us sharing ideas too, best practices around, and, of course, highlighting our favorite people, brands, and initiatives positively serving humanity and sprinkling joy over their slice of the galaxy. Without further ado, let's spill the tea.
Oh, hello world. We are live. It's Tuesday. It's the first Tuesday in August, Leo season.
Yes.
And we were talking about some of our favorite songs in the green room before we went live. And one of them, Molly and I both really love, we'll make sure to drop the link in the comments, called Resilient. And it is by this amazing female group. And in, like, I don't know, say two-thirds way through, they say, like, let out a great big roar. I was like, and as we were going live, I was like, hey, maybe that's why I keep getting it, because it's Leo season's theme song.
Oh, is it?
Maybe. Because it has a roar in it. And, you know, I mean, I think Leos are pretty resilient. Anyways, we are here tonight or tomorrow morning, depending on where you're watching us live, to talk about chapter 3 in our summer fave choice here, You Are a Goddess by Sophie Bashford. Sophie, if you are watching this episode, hello. Thank you so much, beloved writer friend, for writing this beautiful work of art. We are talking about chapter 3 today, and it's about Kuan Yin. And as we teased last week, this is a goddess archetype that Molly has a lot of connection to. So she's really going to share a lot of really the personal side of her journey with Kuan Yin. And then, of course, you know me, I've got a pages filled with sunshine to talk about for those of you who have not read the book. Before we get going, of course, I would love to do some breath work. So we're ready.
Well, I like what you suggested. We're going to do a mantra. We're going to do a Kuan Yin mantra. So index fingers together, thumbs together, and then resting the other fingers. So it's kind of like the Bieber.
Or like I was saying in the green room, it is a heart unicorn.
Or a pair of goggles. Goggles.
I mean, seriously, we are so goofy. But yeah, so like in her card, for those of you who are like, what are these girls doing?
So for people who are like, okay, they have lost their noodles, let's just break this down, right? So let's normalize this, what we're doing. So in yoga, everything is intentional, and mudras are yoga of the hands, right? So we are intentionally placing fingers in a certain gesture to create a certain energy, right?
Yes.
So it's not super weird. It's intentional and it's ancient. So, you know, just going back to that.
We're just being ancient goofy. It is good to have happiness and joy in this process, right?
I don't know. I do not know what you're talking about.
I'm so going to screenshot that. laughter is medicine. And I am certain that Kuan Yin feels incredibly honored that we are adding joy to right off the bat. So
I love it. All right. Well, we're going to take this mudra and we're going to place it actually at the heart center. So, and the breath work that we're going to practice tonight is a breath of compassion, because Kuan Yin really embodies compassion and self-compassion and compassion for others. The way that this breath works is we're going to breathe in deeply through our nose, and then we're going to exhale through our mouth, and we are going to be sending compassion to a specific someone.
Ooh.
And so, yeah. So instead of We don't need to overthink this. My thing might be too high. I'm thinking a little bit of reverb here. So we're just going to breathe in, and then whoever shows up in our mind, we're just going to just breathe out and just send compassion. So imagine them, and just imagine your breath wrapping around their body, and then we're going to breathe in again and then send again. And maybe the same person shows up, or perhaps someone different. So we're going to do three full complete breaths. So let's put the Kuan Yin mudra at our heart center. Close our eyes. We're going to ground through those sitting bones, reaching through the crown, just start to find that comfort and ease in the shape of our body. Let's take a big breath in together. Exhale through the mouth, sending compassion to whomever shows up in your mind screen. Big breath in. Exhale, sending compassion. Big breath in. And sending compassion. And then releasing.
You know what I love about the mudras, and what I love, of course, I love learning the different mudras.
Yes.
However, I also love, you know, being raised in the Lutheran church, which is under the Christianity umbrella, praying and holding our hands was a big thing, right?
Anjali
like
mudra.
Like yeah. When you pray, you're either doing this, you're doing this. But even sitting in church, right, it was like, hold your hands in your lap. Like our hands were, there was a proper place for them, but we only had one. We only had the one mudra.
Well, that is Anjali mudra. And as yogis, I don't know if you can see this or not, but the thumbs connect to the center of the heart. So energetically, your fingers can be wide and spread, or they can be pulled together. This is a conservation of energy. This is more of a splaying, but the idea is that the thumbs are connecting to the heart center, right? So this is actually, like Kali Mudra had our Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, this is, you know, a really beautiful word. And again, Anjali Mudra is the place where we actually bow and greet each other in namaste, right? And the language of namaste actually means, the light in me honors and sees the light in you, which means it's like you're honoring soul to soul. It's really beautiful, actually. But you're, you
well,
know.
And I think that is... I believe what is missing with so much of the angst, right? So like inside the Christian religion, there's this like, don't listen to anyone else's religion, that it's sinful to do that. It's sinful to look or to, you know, I mean, even like there was a time when it was like even doing yoga, like, can you do Jesus yoga? Like, is that against your religion? And so it was very, very strict, right? Like you must only look at this. You must only read these books. And I feel like a sadness almost for these generations of amazing divine human beings who never really took the step that we've taken and over these, you know, decades and days to actually learn these things. To dig deeper and to ask the questions and to learn from your wisdom of women like you who teach us about the mudras and what they mean and the meaning behind the physicality of it, right? And it's even reminded me of when we did the Megan Watterson, right? When we were doing her course and she was talking about the Christ mudra. I'd never heard it called that, right? I'd never heard it called a mudra before.
Yeah.
Like, but Jesus is doing this.
Often pointed at the, when you see it depicted, right? It's pointed at the heart.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There's a lot of symbology right there. That's like a whole bunch of stuff happening right there.
Well, and one thing that you said last week, and maybe you said it the first week as well, and I think that it's worthy of repeating, is that when, you know, when we come together and have these conversations, these very spiritual conversations that we are trying to make snackable, right? That we're trying to kind of break the mystique around them, and that mm-hmm. it's really important for those who are joining us at this table, wherever you are, to do your best to set aside any judgment over the words and terms that we use.
Yeah.
And if it feels uncomfortable to you, you don't have to use it, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to not use it. Just don't shut yourself off from hearing the entirety of the conversation, right? So we're going to be talking about Kuan Yin today, who I'm certain many have not heard of. Mm-hmm. Her story is spectacular.
I mean, truly spectacular. And, you know, so first of all, before we dive into that, you have to share your water because, I mean, that is
just, on call.
Right?
Here she is. Well, she is water, but she's also love tea from Intentionalities. Mm. And okay, so I sent you a picture of what I was kind of playing with earlier. So inside this goddess water, that's what they're going to be called. They're going to be called goddess waters, and it'll be different names because it really yes. is like, this is the God in me showing itself.
I feel like I need to make a tea for you called goddess water.
Oh, maybe. That would be amazing.
I know, right?
Yeah. So in here, like this tea is spicy. And I love this tea because it like puts a fire in my chest, right?
Yes, that's what love should do, right?
Exactly. And the color is very passionate too. But inside here are rose petals and basil and cucumber, mm-hmm. like physically mm-hmm. Cut up inside. But then on the top is this really spectacular rosemary. It's not rosemary. Your typical rosemary, right? It's called goriza. Goriza.
Okay.
Of course, large leaves of basil. There is peppermint.
Mm.
There's a spearmint sprig in here. And then a geranium leaf.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I have two different kinds of geraniums behind me.
Okay.
This one right here is a citronella geranium. Mm-hmm. So it smells like mm-hmm. like lemon. Mm-hmm. And it's outrageous. The scent is outrageous. Like I walk out here like, and then a regular geranium, both of them can be in foods and waters. And that is part of the green witchery, they call it, right? Like really understanding and learning about your garden and what grows in it and what you've never thought you could put in food, but you actually
yes.
have.
And medicines, you know, I make tinctures yes. all the time. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, tonight I am drinking a Ponysaurus Scottish ale.
A Ponysaurus?
Yes. And actually my friend David Baldwin, he's local. He actually spoke at Inman. Really great guy. What I love about this is, you know, they're basically a socially good company that sells beer. Just super rad across the board. But if you have a place that sells Ponysaurus, you can go online. But the Scottish Ale is seriously my favorite. It's a deep, rich beer. It's worthy of every single sip. So I'm not a beer drinker, but I do love the Scottish ale. So
I go through phases with beer.
Yeah, me too.
I'm the same.
I get a stomach ache 9 times out of 10. This beer doesn't give me a stomach ache. So I don't know what it is that's actually giving me a stomach ache, but I can actually drink this beer. So
yeah, yeah, it's because it's Scottish and you know it.
And that's it, right? It's because I am Scottish. Okay, so let's start with Kuan Yin. So the first thing is we did talk about the mudra, right? Which yes. is yoga of the hands.
Yes.
Yep, I love that. So the mantra, which is sound vibration, is associated with Kuan Yin, is Om Mani Padma Om. So O-M-M-A-N-I Padma, P-A-D-M-A, H-U-M, home. Om Mani Padma Om. And that basically means like the jewel of the lotus. I'm actually looking it up because I don't want to miss praise to the jewel of the lotus, right?
Praise to the jewel of the lotus. Yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
You know, and the lotus symbology is associated with Kuan Yin. And a lot of her journeys and meditations somehow like have this like the lotus overhead that drips nectar into the being, right? Mm. And there's actually a mudra, a lotus mudra, where you're connecting the thumbs and the pinkies together and creating a beautiful lotus flower. So when we do our meditation tonight, we're going to actually use this lotus mudra. But the lotus is a really important symbol in yoga, and mostly because it blooms in really, really mucky, muddy water.
Yes.
So it's a beautiful symbol of life, right? That, you know, and a lot of yogis, you know, they always say no mud, no lotus, right? You need that rich nutrient of the shit.
Wait a minute. You just texted that to me.
I know. I did.
You did. You literally, like, within the last week, you were like, no mud, no lotus. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great.
Because I actually have a lotus pond 5-minute walk from me. Mm. So that's where I often sit and just meditate and listen to the cacophony of frogs.
I mean, it's
crazy, right? So, but yeah, so that's sort of the, when you see a lot of yogis having that lotus symbol, it's because you get the bloom by the nutrients of the garbage, the mud, right? Yes. Of doing the hard stuff.
I love that. I love that. And I love, you know, the intentionality of the words and the hands, again, paired together, like takes it to 11, right? There is this remembering to be fully present. And I think that when we're involving our body, we're involving our words, we're involving our breath, it's impossible to not recognize where you are in the moment, right? Because you are doing the things. And I think, you know, who knows why it started and you know, but I feel pretty confident that the reason it endured is because people actually had to pay attention to what they were doing. So they actually learned it.
That's it. Right. Wow.
So yeah, beautiful.
It's really beautiful. So where Kuan Yin comes into this again, so her mantra is Om Mani Padme Om, but the mythology or the theology, if you will, around her is this idea that, there was a story of a human. Her name was Miao Shen, and she was a woman whose father was an emperor and basically was super cruel to her and made her marry, and she refused. So she got, she got exiled to an island. And in exilation, is it exilation? While in exile, I don't know what the right word is. You know, she basically created this really rich, beautiful place. Very similar to Aiea, right? Like, it's again,
yes,
the theme.
Well, and, you know, what she talks about, what Sophie talks about in the book related to her story is that she, that this princess.
Yes.
Meow. I'm meowing like a kitty a little bit. Meow. that she had this desire for a quiet, prayerful existence. Like, she sought to be like a monk in that time. And she, that's why she didn't want to get married, you know, and this, you know, I feel like there's this rising in so many women that I know who are feeling this call for the quiet alone. Contemplation,
the cave,
the Aiea, and I think that there is, you know, there is this shedding of this layer of expectation and the shedding of the expectation of our performance that Kuan Yin really, she really represents, right? The, you know, she chose herself.
Mm.
And so all of these archetypal themes that come along with her, you know, maybe, it wouldn't have been the way that it was if she had a loving, caring father who was like, go, do what you like. Like, she needed the friction. She needed the grit. She needed the suffering in order to fully step in to her purpose, right?
Oh, I think that's incredible, right? And that would be super aligned with the rest of the story too, because here she is having this life, you know, that she's been exiled and, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, she found that peace, right? And then it, word got to, her father that she was doing exactly what she wanted, right? And so he went and, burned everything down or destroyed it all, right? And really was cruel. And then years later, turns out the father gets sick and could only be healed with the limbs of a pure heart. And the word got to Miao Shen about the need of her very cruel father. And so she lopped off her limbs and gave it to her father. And when he discovered that it was his own daughter who had sacrificed for him, he finally repented and understood. And at that time, the theology goes that Miao Shen turned into Kuan Yin
Yeah, so
and
now where
truly
does the
embodied.
tiger come in that story, right? Because the tiger is a big connection piece. Or at least that's how Sophie speaks of it, right? Like I
Yeah, I always associate the tiger with Durga, Ma Durga, which is another Hindu goddess that I absolutely love. She's a fierce warrior. So when I remember reading that about Kuan Yin and the tiger, I just kind of because like for the maybe the past 3 years or so, I have most of my meditation, and it's because in our, tonight's meditation. I use these cards, these Kuan Yin Oracle cards. This is part of my daily practice. And the meditations are just super beautiful, right? Kuan Yin is all about healing. She's all about compassion. She's all about, I mean, it's this really soft energy of Kuan Yin where, like Kali was so fierce, Durga is fierce. There's one fierce card. It's the fierce mother card of Kuan Yin, where she's sort of in this lotus flame. But for the most part, Kuan Yin is really a softer,
Well,
a
yes. So in the book, it says the archetypal themes of Kuan Yin are compassion, kindness, tenderness, being open to receiving, which I can't wait to talk about that, nourishment, the female body, healing, and loving touch. So those are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 archetypal themes. And I mean, the word like soft, using the word soft, that feels like she feels soft. She looks soft. I mean, it's very different from the Kali card.
Oh, very different, right? So, when I was a little girl, my mom, she used to sew all of our Halloween costumes. We didn't go out and buy them. She would make them and she'd get patterns and do the whole thing. And one year, actually, I think I wore it multiple years, but she had made me a kimono. And, I went as a little, I don't know, a geisha or, I had the white piece and, the hair up with the top knot and the kimono. And,
Back when that was accepted. Now we
oh
don't
yeah,
do it. Yes. We wouldn't do that now.
we couldn't do a geisha now.
No.
Oh, that's, oh no. Well, that's sad because I loved it. I felt like
Oh,
such a
there's not about
princess.
it's not about loving. It's actually about truly when you read truly what a geisha is, and what they go through.
Well, I did read the book Memoirs of a Geisha.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a party pooper on your story. I'm simply saying, like, we're not condoning kids all turning into geishas for Halloween. I mean, unless that's part of their heritage, because that's very, yeah, it's very, it's like that's the part of the cultural appropriation that we need to be careful about, right? I love it. I mean, I have an actual kimono in my house too, and I'm like, oh, what am I gonna do with it? What do I do with it?
No, I know. I hate that because it feels so beautiful, right? But I remember my mom made this for me, right? And I just loved it so much. And so when she came in, into my life, and I'm not super compassionate, right? Like I'm not a super soft person. I'm a little bit more aggressive, and
I love the clarity of self.
well, I am, right? And I kind of have a mouth like a sailor, and I'm aggressive. So this other side of Kuan Yin, right? Of this compassion, nurture, is really something that I have been striving toward. And, a couple of my most incredible moments have been experiences in meditation with Kuan Yin. So I really feel like a truly a deep connective treasure with her.
May I ask you a question
Yeah.
about what something you just said? So
Yeah.
you've said it a few times, and I know that if I'm thinking it, other
Yeah.
people are thinking it, which
Okay.
is, what do you mean specifically when you say you meditate with her?
Oh.
Like,
Yeah.
what does that look
Okay.
like to you? Like, I can imagine what it like how I do that, but I really want to know what it means when you say that.
Okay. Well, years ago, maybe 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago, I don't, it's a long time ago. I actually, for someone, for a birthday present, they gave me studying with a shaman. That was my birthday present from my friend Deb, a different Deb. And so I spent a better part of a year training with a shaman. And part of training with a shaman was learning to do what's called journeying. And journeying is a very intentional step-by-step guided meditation. So, like if we were to, a shaman uses a drum or like a sacred, sound vibration to create, basically certain wavelengths in the brain, wave patterns in the brain, which basically create, sort of an ecstatic state. And then you go into, you get visuals and images, right?
Totally. I mean, and this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but the last time I remember seeing this represented on TV was in a Star Trek with Chakotay. And like, I'm not kidding. I don't know. You probably have never watched that show.
No, but I'm saying yes because it
But
sounds good.
yes,
It
but
sounds
this is like,
like
2600
burrito.
or whatever, but Chakotay is one of, he's obviously a Native American. It's thundering here. I don't know if you can hear that, but it's like
Chipotle. No, I can't hear him. Yeah.
massive, massive thundering. But he does this, and actually I think he was leading someone through this. He was leading Captain Janeway, the fantastic redheaded captain, to find her spirit animal. Like her spirit
Yeah, that's
guide.
it.
Yeah. And it was beautifully done, of course, because it was, TV.
Yeah.
But in my mind's eye, I can see what you're saying. Like it's
Yeah.
this journey. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a guided meditation, essentially. Now, journeying in shamanism, like a lot of it isn't necessarily guided. A lot of it is just what comes out of your own unconsciousness. And I think that's what's so fascinating. I remember when I was doing it back then, I had a friend, Dave, that I was talking to about it. And I was like, man, I am either like seriously, like my subconscious is so creative, or this is real. Because like I don't know where this is coming from. Like it is so vivid and so descriptive and so apropos
I
and
love that.
so, right? I'm like, I don't know. And he
Brain
was
is
like,
magical.
right? Yeah. And he was like, well, it's coming from something, right? So regardless, it doesn't really matter. And he kind of gave me permission to continue on that path without really fully having to have a detailed scientific understanding of the experiences I was having.
Which is very,
Right.
very difficult for a lot of people.
Yes.
I would say I fall a lot less out of that category than I did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Had you been talking to me about this 2 years ago, I'd have been like,
You're like, awkward.
what does that mean? Not quite sure.
Somebody's
And
having too many
now what
kids.
I'm learning, and I know that my girlfriend Mia is on here, and she is such a great teacher about things like the cultural appropriation and where, like, I wouldn't ask you a question about if I thought that was cultural appropriation. I need to go to the source, right? And so when I have questions about that, even if I've learned from someone, I know now that the best place to ask the advice is from someone who is an expert in such and said from their own culture, right? And so to the kimono conversation or to this the journeys, right? Be careful who you're doing that with, right? It shouldn't just be anyone out there. Like these are, it's like if even some of the like the not witchy, but like the spiritual groups that I'm in, they're like, be careful who is guiding you on these journeys, right? And so I really want to make sure that we're saying that as well. Like, be careful, right? Be, you know who you're talking to, ask the questions, you know, if it's something that is directly related to a culture, and we have a lot of Native American activities here in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, Chief Seattle is where Seattle comes from. And so there's a lot of places to ask a lot of really amazing questions. And it's such a beautiful place to be in right now, because Molly, we're having this conversation, and there are other people who are having conversations like us on this wild, wonderful web. And so we can go listen to those experts and listen to what they're saying and learn and glean wisdom more than any other generation's been able to before. I mean, how rad is that?
Well, it is. I just, again, it's like a not limiting the conversation, right? So the woman that I trained with is a third generation shaman. She actually works at Duke University, which is awesome. Her name is Mara Bishop, and I'll put a link in there in case anybody ever wants to do any work with her. She's incredible. You know, so she's the real deal. And, you know, but from my perspective, what I learned in my path is I don't have Native American roots, but I have Celtic roots. I'm 99% Celtic. And the truth of the matter is, Celtics, the ancient Celts, did journeys. Yes. And that is not just a Native American tradition. It's a spiritual tradition.
Yes.
And it is a part of something. So that is, I think that's the part where I hear people like, oh, well, no, you can't do that. Because I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Truth is truth, right? And we don't want to limit the conversation by just by our narrow understanding of it, right?
Yes, so it's the question after the question and asking another question. That's what it, that is what is so beautiful about where we are. And part of, again, why I think Kuan Yin is really represented in that, because part of that compassion and kindness that is woven into her entire story, that's really what we're talking about, is being compassionate and curious about what these other cultures, and what our roots, right? What our roots do as well. Because of course, as you can imagine, I also have a lot of Celtic in my blood. And so it is us questioning and learning about who we are. And I feel like that's part of what she says to me, right? Like being open to receive. When they're talking about that, I was like, open to receive. Okay.
Oh gosh. I love that. Well, here's a really great feminine wisdom exercise that my teacher, Dharma Richards, taught me, and I love it. And again, it's kind of about getting to know who you are and sort of claiming your role in your line. You know, like one, if you haven't done your family, you know, you haven't done your DNA, you know, what lineage or what's the word I'm looking at? I forget the word I'm looking for. You know,
ancestry.
Yeah, I mean ancestry, or even like I forget the word pantheon. I don't know. You know, like I really associate with Isis too, right? Which is Egyptian. I have no Egyptian in me, but like Isis is someone that I absolutely, because she's the, you know, always the bird, the wings. I see her all the time in my dreams. Yeah. You know, like, but I'm not Egyptian. You know, so again, to walk with the goddess is to walk as the goddess. We are all but a drop of water in the ocean, and so these lines that we claim and we say are actually much murkier and, you know, much looser than we would ever even imagine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, not limiting ourselves.
Yes.
Allowing to what flows in to flow in. But, you know, the exercise that's really cool is that you start as far back as you possibly can with the women in your family line that you know their names.
Ooh, okay.
And, you know, it is, you just say their names, you know, every single woman in your family, you know, and, you know, up until you, you know, and it's like, okay, you start with your, for me, I can go back to my great grandmas. So it's like my great grandmas, my grandmas, you know, and then it's my, you know, my mother, my sister, all of my aunts, my nieces, you know, my daughter, you know, Stacy, myself, right? Like that was the lines that I would do in, and you're just remembering everybody who had to walk or who is walking is part of your story, right?
I love this. And I love that you include Stacy. So would you include her sister and or simply because you've coupled or handfasted that she becomes part of your family, but not her sit.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, for me, it's an exercise of who's showing up too, right? Again, like in the compassion breath of who's showing up that you're sending compassion to. Yeah. So yes, actually, but for me, you know, Stacy is a twin. Her sister is named Tammy. And so they always sort of come together when I was doing it. Now, obviously Stacy and I are separated, but we're not divorced. So technically we're still handfasted.
Yes.
You know, so like when I do the exercise, you know, she still is, you know, who shows up for me.
If you do divorce, it doesn't mean that she wouldn't receive compassion from you. I mean, I think that that's, you know, one of Kuan Yin's lessons, right? Even this father who was just tyrannical towards her, who was just like evil and angry and, you know, had this violence towards her because she wanted to live a very different life than he had imagined for her.
Yes.
That even with all of that animosity that he showered over her, she still gave to him. She was still she selflessly gave to him. And I think that I think that's where we see a lot of that compassion part, but the open to receiving part is the part. So in Sophie's book on page 122, she says, receiving is a key element of the feminine principle. Many women encounter strong internal reactions to the prospect of receiving. Simply receiving love, care, nurturing, kindness, relaxation, pleasure. It is something that most of us need to practice opening to, because our social conditioning has not recognized that our giving natures become very depleted if we do not redress our inner balance. And, you know, I obviously, anybody who knows me or who has received any number of my emails knows that the term self-care is one that I love to dig into, because self-care is not only body care. So many people think about like, I got a manicure and pedicure, I got my hair done, I got a massage, I went to the spa. Like that's body care, right?
Yeah.
And so this whole section on receiving touch, on receiving love and care. May I make you a sandwich? Yes, you may. You know, like these things that we maybe almost initially feel like, oh, I can do it myself, right? Like I am strong and I'm independent. You don't like, if somebody wants to open the door, let them open the door for you. Like you don't need to take it as a personal affront to who you are. Like you can receive the gift of them holding open a door for you, right? And so I think that that's where her softness comes in again. And when she says, you know, inside, what I love that Sophie does inside her books is she always has like two or three like really highlighted, bolded, italicized thoughts. And this was the one in this section, which is receiving is a central principle of the spiritual feminine. Open to receive, and I'm going to say this again, opening or being open to receiving is a meditative, soul activating statement. When I read that, I was like, oh. You know, because I'm receiving, the first thing I think as a heterosexual woman is like sex, right? And that there's so much around this act of receiving sex that women have been taught about, like it's about the man, right? That sex isn't about them. And that, you know, there are many, many women who are trying to change that conversation out there. And I'm so grateful to them. But even, you know, that intimate act of receiving to the casual act of receiving of compliment. Right?
Totally, right.
So where can we be more open?
Oh, I love that. Right. Well, a couple of things with that is, right, you have to have a recipient if you're going to allow someone to be the giver, right? So that exchange happens, right? Because somebody has to receive. You know, I'm a gift giver. I love to give gifts. And, you know, the thing is, I don't do it with any other intention than just pure joy, because I see something, I'm like, oh, this is perfect for such and such, right? You know, but it's the joy for me, like that's it. I am the giver there, but it's the joy of the recipient, right? Of the way that it's received. Now, if that wasn't received, it wouldn't be very joyful to give it, right? So it's the exchange between that actually is where the beauty happens.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that has really gotten into my head, you know, culturally that I'm trying to fight even now, you know, in this, you know, are we in our second act yet? Or is that after 50?
We're in our second act now. Third act starts 70s.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in our second act.
Yes. Yes.
So we're knocking on second act's door, right?
Yeah.
So is about sex, right? And, you know, like, because a lot of the ancients, you know, the sacred texts, even in yoga, you know, brahmacharya is about, you know, restraint or abstinence, you know, in a lot of the spiritual texts, it's about, you know, withholding spiritual, sexual energies, as it relates to, you know, all of the things that we talk about, right? Like for women in purity, like we talked about with like the Virgin Mother last time, right? And how celebrated that virginity actually is, the cleanliness, the purity.
Yeah, men are celebrated for their prowess.
The prowess,
and if women aren't supposed to have sex, who are the men having sex with to gain their prowess? It's so confusing.
Yeah, right? Well, the thing that I'm holding and I'm trying to reprogram in my brain right now is that all acts of pleasure are part of the sacred feminine, you know? And so when you think about even our anatomy, right? And the way that we're designed to be pleasure. I mean, the body is designed to be pleasurable. So like for me, I just can't disconnect. I just, I'm like, you know what? That was a bill of goods that we were sold, that we weren't supposed to be, you know, enjoying. That women weren't supposed to enjoy sex. It's bullshit because we have the wiring, like the actual physical parts to enjoy sex. It doesn't make sense. We wouldn't have that.
Have the actual physical parts, people.
Yeah, they could just have been omitted, right? If it wasn't supposed to be pleasurable, then we wouldn't have the parts needed to have pleasure, right?
Sure, sure.
And so this
sperm could go through our belly button. I mean,
right? Totally, right? But it doesn't work like that, right? It's about this beautiful dance of giving and receiving, you know. And it is about remembering that pleasure is pure.
Yes.
And I think you said it with the laughter in the beginning, you know, it's really no different. It's heightened energy. It's a high vibration.
Yes.
And I think that's where people get jacked up is when we attach shame to whatever act it is. So a sex act can be like the highest vibration of an orgasm, or it can be a shame sandwich based on your lens of where you're at, right?
Shame sandwich. That doesn't sound like it tastes very good, Molly.
It doesn't. It's got like horseradish or something on it.
And everyone who loves horseradish lets out a big moan.
I know.
But, it's like the coffee lovers who freaked out at the grinding.
I know. We just lost half our audience. No, but I think the key is, regardless, it's about control and maintaining a high vibration in whatever you do.
Yes.
And not attaching that lower, and I don't know if that's even the right language, but like.
I feel what you're serving up here. Like, I feel that. And, you know, what's interesting is, I think I've shared this, you know, 40 episodes ago, but there is a couple up here in the Seattle area. And as I'm saying this, their names are escaping me. The Gotts. So they have this, they kind of remind me of the real life version of Meet the Fockers. Did you ever see that show?
Totally. But, I love it. Barbara Streisand
and Dustin Hoffman.
That's totally going to be me with my kids someday, by the way.
Seriously. Like Andrew and I are like, we have really nothing physically in common with the two of them, but just their lifestyle and how there is that kind of hippie flow. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want him pooping in front of guests. Like there were some things where I was like, oh, please. But you know, that whole kind of comedy always makes me uncomfortable in some way, shape or form, but I digress. The Gotts here, they have a whole program called Got Sex, G-O-T-T Sex. And okay. We, you know, I don't remember how we got introduced to it. It was probably we go through, you know, couples classes and couples therapy stuff. And so it was this like looking at sex in a different way. And because it's not about, they don't talk about intercourse as being the only version of sex. And so what you are talking about is like our minds were blown because it was like everything, like the intimacy, like the joy from intimacy is actually a sexual connection. right? And
Yeah.
which is, you know, in the church, they again make it so small and make it like it's only about the sex. That's what makes it different. When really it's this, like, you know, touching someone's body and holding their hand and moving their hair, like this dance that we can have with another person's senses. And that is where we as women have really closed ourselves off. And
totally.
And I think some of it, I think a lot of us, I mean, we know the statistics, we've been assaulted in some way, shape, or form, whether it was by a stranger or somebody that we cared about. And so there's parts of us that need to be released. There's pain pockets inside of us that Kuan Yin is saying, heal thyself from this, because being open to receive actually is what breaks you open to live your best life, to be able to serve others, and to have this, she says the term sacred radiance, like to shine this sacred radiance. And like it is our right, and almost, dare I say, our responsibility to do this work for ourselves, right? To find those broken pieces that were left, and, you know, do the cutting of the cord ceremonies. I feel like I've been seeing a lot of those on in my feed lately, you know, like the two candles with the cord, and then all of a sudden there's like this major fire at the end. It's like this releasing of this energy, right? This like connected energy that's a little piece of you, like they talk about in Untethered Soul, right? Those little pieces of me that are in all of these past relationships with women and with men and with parents and siblings, these little pieces we leave behind. And she's saying, heal thyself so that you can be open to receive. Oh,
that's it. I mean, that to me is like the essence of reintegration, right? When you have cords and entanglements and attachments that are just, you know, out, right? You really are. It's about pulling your energy back in and understanding how you walk in the world, right?
Yes. Well, and then, you know, she kind of brings it around to, I love when she talks about kind of the joy of eating. Do you remember where she talks about that in the book?
I don't know, but that's about presence, being present, right?
Yeah, I think I highlighted it in here because it was such a beautiful thing. It was like, take time to be joyful about, like, whether it's you're growing your food or preparing your food or eating your food. And, you know, we've talked on and off about the More Than a Body book by Doctors Lexi and Lindsay, and about how these two women are really shifting the conversation around our bodies being instruments, not ornaments, and how food is a big part of that. And an Untamed, Glennon Doyle talks about it, right? Like how she would walk into the room where her kids were watching TV, and she would say, "Is anybody hungry?" And the guys, without hesitation, would be like, "Yeah!" And the girls would look to each other to say, like, "Am I hungry? Are you? If you're hungry, maybe I'm hungry."
Yeah.
And so we have this crazy relationship around nourishing our bodies, and that she reminds us to tap into the joy of the food. And I feel like this is kind of like my entry in that, right?
I think that's it. I mean, you know, I want to go back to the water, because even like the water and the tea and all of that, right? Because I think it plays right into this thing that you and I have maybe talked about before, but we kind of just so both know as bathletes, is, you know, when we talk about self-care, you know, a lot of times bubble baths or whatever get thrown, or showers get thrown into that mix. Like, it's not just about like soaking in the tub. The difference, I think, for me with water is that water has memory, right? And if water has memory, it means it comes from source, right? It's an element.
Yes.
So earth, air, fire, water, right?
Yes.
That's why, like, lighting a candle, you know, sipping the tea, you know, with the, you know, the steam, you know, that a cup of tea represents every single element: plant material, heat, water, air, right? So in its own little container, the teacup, you have the entire basis of the universe, right?
Yes.
A bathtub, the same thing, right? The salt from the earth, the heat from the water, the steam, the air, and you know, like, these practices aren't just surface, right? Like, when you start to dip into and understand what's actually happening, then it truly becomes a ritualistic sacred act. Bathing, a cup of tea, these simple things, a yes. cup of soup, right?
Yes.
And that to me is what we're talking about here. That is self-care.
Well, and if I could bridge a little bit here, you know, we've talked about how when we travel, that one of the things we love to do is like go into these amazing Catholic cathedrals, right? And mm-hmm. and see, you know, I mean, I've done the lighting of a candle in the Catholic Church. I'm not Catholic, but mm-hmm. I understand the ritual, mm-hmm. right? It is a simple ritual, lighting a candle mm-hmm. for a loved one, right?
It's
and
beautiful.
Of course, the Catholic yes. Church is like, give us a little money for that. Like, put a little money in the box, light the
yes.
candle. But these, there's no reason for us to shy away from doing different types of rituals. The church chose which ones they wanted to use, but that doesn't mm-hmm. make the other rituals, the bathing, your bathing rituals, how you sip a cup of tea, even how you prepare your cup of tea, how you mm-hmm. stir the soup as you're making it, how you cut a vegetable in your kitchen. These mm. are all, you know, when you're intentional about those moments, when you're nourishing your body with food that that you've actually given thanks for, and mm. not the come Lord Jesus be our guest, let these gifts to us be blessed, right? Like not the, mm. the repetitive, but I love in here, and it's something that Andrew and I started the second I read this, when she says, there's no rigid rules around it. And it's all about thanking the food, thanking the people who were part of growing your food, the people who picked the food, the people who mm-hmm. sold the food, the, mm-hmm. the animals that helped work the land. Like mm-hmm. it being about this holistic way of recognizing everything that had to go into you having this geranium leaf, mm. right? And that there's so much power in that, and that energy that you're giving to the food from mm-hmm. from source, from our creator, right, is then nourishing your body. I mean,
that's it.
It makes such sense, as opposed to me hating myself for having that delicious piece of dark chocolate. I, you know, praise all of the people who got this chocolate to me and I enjoy it. I don't hate myself for it. This is a practice for a lot of women, and it doesn't even have to be something sugary and sweet like chocolate. It could be any kind of food, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, well, and what's beautiful about that is that everything again has a vibration, right? So when we are intentional about how we are vibrating, we can be intentional about how we vibrate, right? And gratitude is a very high vibration,
yes.
you know, and, you know, and so you're creating that, you're creating energy. I mean, you're creating with that. And that is really important to recognize is what you're actually, sharing, you know? And so for me, the whole, you know, just to distill it down to what Kuan Yin really embodies for me is this, you know, this compassionate nectar for life, mm. right? And understanding, you know, like the milk and the honey, mm. you know, this beautiful, you know, embracing, tasting, honoring the nectar. And those are like, that's a word that I associate it with her. Even in the meditation that we'll do tonight, you know, it's a lot of her meditations, like, you know, you actually, the nectar drips and it heals the wounds, you know, in the mind's eye.
So beautiful.
You know, it's cool, you know, and like I said,
she's pretty rad, right? She's rad.
I love these Kuan Yin cards. They're super fun. The art in them is just, is ridiculous. It's so beautiful.
I love that.
And so it's just, they're just, it's a joy to work with. So mm. I highly recommend that.
Okay. So before we flow into the meditation, there's two more things that, I really want to inspire everyone who is joining us on this journey to not to miss. The first one is on page 126 in the book, when she's talking about the side effects of neglecting your feminine energy, right? So now this is everyone. Y'all, this is no matter what gender you identify with, the side effects of neglecting your feminine energy. And she says, when your inner feminine source is dry, you may become low, stuck, ill, reliant on quick fixes, overworked, creatively blocked, chronically exhausted, and running on adrenaline. Can we say coffee society? Like, and on the same side of this conversation, we have the flip, right? This same side, we have the flip. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? We have this coffee society that's like, go, 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 you know, death before somebody takes my coffee away, to the generation that's coming behind us is, you know, doing this, the mud waters in the morning, right? That doesn't have the adrenaline rush that coffee has, that caffeine has, right? That they're nourishing their energies differently. And I've seen this trend on Instagram. I see the ads constantly, right? It's like, I think it's probably Gen Z. It's not a millennials anymore. The millennials are, you know, in the midst of raising children, downing the caffeinated drinks. But, yeah, totally. But I think that, you know, we've talked about so many times about how, yes, there are frustrations about people who are younger than us because they're experiencing this life very differently than we did at their age. Right? They have technology and access to information, but there's also this beautiful enlightenment that is coming in these next generations that is looking at, like, why am I drinking that? I mean, I've said it a million, I haven't had coffee in 6-8 weeks, you know?
Oh gosh.
Because I was realizing I'm not drinking even a whole cup of coffee before it gets cold and I have to dump it out and start over again. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I actually don't enjoy it.
I mean, it's just a habit.
I enjoy the smell of it, like, but I can buy a coffee candle and get the same rush of that smell, right? That scent can still fill my home. I don't have to drink the coffee. And so now I have a cup of tea in the morning and I drink the whole thing because I love the tea, right? And so looking at our practices, really, when I read this, it's like, look at your practices. What is forcing you? Like, are you a workaholic? Are you killing your creative flow because you're running on adrenaline and you're not getting the sleep because your mind isn't shutting down because you've caffeinated yourself to the umpteenth degree today? And so look at how you are affecting that feminine energy inside you and see, like, you don't have to get it all out at once, but start small. You know, like, if you are a coffee person, you know, maybe just cut out one cup a day and see how you start to feel, and or replace it with something like, you know, green tea. See if there's a difference in how that treats you, because she really does talk about that feminine energy being affected by that. And then, of course, because, you know, my passion for speaking about body image and women seeing themselves differently, there is a part on page 127 to 128 that I want to make sure that everyone hears, whether they read the book or not. And this is so beautiful. She talks about, as we're receiving and connecting with Kuan Yin, and she's working to heal our feminine energy, she goes through and imagine this. So imagine if every woman on this earth woke up tomorrow without any concept of wrongness about her body. Imagine if every woman and girl woke up tomorrow without any sense of inadequacy or self-judgment. Imagine if every woman woke up tomorrow with her mind wiped clean from the relentless, systematic attack upon the female body that has been endured for centuries. Imagine if all the women in the world woke up with total amnesia about the lies that have been perpetuated about the female body and its beauty, power, and wisdom. Take a moment and feel how much energy that could release and be made available to us.
Right? How much energy, and energy also in the form of dollars, right?
All of the energy, all of the ways we exchange energy, our kindness, our curiosity, our giving, our purchasing, like, all of that power would be blown out of the water. I mean, it would be exponential. We really would see such a shift. And it's when you start thinking about the energy, when you start thinking about your food as nourishment, when you start thinking about being open to receiving, like Kuan Yin is teaching us in all of the layers of her archetype, right? It is to prepare us for what's next. It is about being present in this moment and preparing our future self to become her best self, because we are taking the time to be kind, to be compassionate to ourselves and others, to do the work it takes to nourish ourselves with joy. And I'm so honored to know her story and to see her in my everyday now.
I know. I mean, that's, you know, and again, like, that's, I think, the very essence of the, you know, you change yourself, you change the world.
We're getting questions in the comments, like, what are you reading this from? This is from the book that we're talking about. It's called You Are a Goddess. You Are a Goddess by Sophie Bashford. It is one of the most powerful books I've ever consumed. So we will drop the link in to grab the book. If you don't want to wait, go to sophiebashford.com. Please do not go to Amazon and buy it. Go to sophiebashford.com and purchase it through her site. Please and thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is it, you know, like these are the kinds of conversations where, again, I think the root of this is intent, you know. Understanding the archetypes just give us an extra layer of insight so that we can be more empowered to not just float in the current without awareness, right?
I mean I can imagine it. I can imagine it. And what we can see, we can create, right? And that's the it. Beauty of, I believe, a big part of the divine connection we both had to this book. It's about not only expanding our own knowledge of these archetypes. I mean, we've only done three so far. And we've done four, because we did Mary Magdalene as well. So we've done Kali, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin today, and we did Mary Magdalene a couple weeks ago. And, you know, at least two of those four, most people on the planet have heard of, because 80% of the country has at some point had some touch in the Christian community. Right. And so, you know, the women we're about to talk about in these last, let's see, the next 5 weeks, these five women are, you know, we've been able to learn more about them and see a slice of their divinity in who we are.
That's it.
And that's igniting our soul fire.
That's it. I love that. Like, so, I mean, when I first started the goddess studies or the sacred feminine studies years ago, I kept seeing like, well, maybe that's me, right? Or maybe that's, or that's like me, you know, like just having to try to find these connections to it. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is, you know, it's all of us. Each of us has all of these and none of them. And, you know, that is kind of profound, you know? So
it's, you know, the God in us, right? I mean, that's,
it is.
Or in this case, goddess, God, our creator, has no gender. So since we are the S's, right? We identify as female, but having this, it's the God in us.
And it's a drop of water in the ocean, right? That's what we are. It's still the ocean.
Yes. Still the ocean.
It's still the ocean, you know? You don't have, the drops aren't, identified as separate, right? It's the same. And to me, yeah, that's it, right? Mm. Okay, well, what we're going to do tonight, I had pulled a card for tonight earlier today. And the meditation that came up was the healing with a call of the dancing crane.
So I mean, just the 24. Delicious title of this.
Right? Dancing the healing crane? Of the call of the dancing crane. Dancing crane. Which, by the way, if I had actual neighbors, and I do have a couple, they may be watching me. And if they do, they think I'm going to be crazy. But, you know, part of my healing work lately has been to find more joy. So, like, I'm cranking up my music in my garden and I'm dancing and I'm, you know, singing at the top of my lungs. And, you know, I'm not that kind of gal typically, you know,
Ah,
like,
don't speak those words. Do not limit
well,
yourself.
That's true, but I for the last you know how many ever years I'm like, oh yeah, you know I'm not really a dancer, but you know just cranking up the music and dancing in the garden, like there that is healing, and not giving two fucks about who actually is watching or hearing me, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, healing with the call of the dancing crane.
Okay.
So I'm going to read from this tonight because so this would be like a mini journey, if you will, going back to that the language before of like you know how do you meditate with Kuan Yin,
Yes,
right?
yes.
This is an example of you know of meditation is you know either a withdrawal of senses or central focus. So even just focusing on my words is an act of meditation, or it can be an act of meditation as well. So,
All right. I'm going to close my eyes and listen.
all right, so let's find that comfortable seat, grounding through those sitting bones, imagining a beautiful deep taproot burrowing deep into Gaia. Noticing the shifts, shoulders dropping, lifting the chin, lifting through the crown, finding that nice, steady, even breath. I am breathing in. I am breathing out. Now, begin to be aware of your heart space. Imagine you can look up through the crown of your head and see, sense, or feel a radiant ball of pure white light with vibrant neon violet flecks in the center and a radiant neon violet rim around the edges. Say, I call upon the electric violet light to cleanse my astral field of all negative energy now. Through the grace of Kuan Yin, so be it. Perceive that electric violet light pouring like an endless river through the crown of your head, down through your body and out your feet, flooding out through the center of your being until you are a huge column of electric violet light that grows larger than the room you are sitting in. Rest in this for as long as feels good. And then we can finish by saying, I now call the grace of Kuan Yin to help me manifest higher vibrational thoughts, beliefs, and emotions that support my soul light in a joyful and fulfilling life experience here on Earth now. Om Mani Padme Om. Then imagine that within your own heart, you can see two cranes dancing elegantly, calling out to each other playfully, feeling joy and delight. Imagine that these cranes represent your own soul and the soul of Kuan Yin. Allow there to be freedom and dance between your souls. When you are ready, breathe in and out, and then open your eyes. So,
Love
and she
that.
suggests, she's like, you might want to complete this process with a bath or a foot bath, including a handful of salt in the water to finish your cleansing process. But again, this is just, these are like little like bits, right? These are the snackable meditations that we've
Will you
talked
snap a
about.
picture of that and put it in the comments?
I absolutely will.
That would be
And there's
fabulous.
a beautiful little prayer too. But again, the Om Shanti means Om, which is the sacred sound of the universe. Shanti is peace. And again, Om Mani Padma Om is, you know, I bow to the, you know, the jewel, and the jewel of the heart is our soul, right? So, in
That
case.
you saying that reminds me of one of the songs that's I think it's on one of your playlists that of course is now on mine. I pretty sure that I got it from you. Who knows? It's kind of hard to remember who introduced whom to what. Like we're constantly sharing things back and forth, and so I'm like, geez, I think I got this from you. But there was one of the songs where, oh shoot, what was it was she it's she does the oh Shanti Shanti, and then she has her little girl do it.
Oh yes, that's that is actually
I'm trying to remember it right. I think I downloaded her stuff on because Donna De Laurentiis.
That's Loka Sama Sasuke no Bhavantu, which is may all beings be free, may all beings be free of suffering, may all beings be happy, I believe. Loka Sama Sasuke no Bhavantu. That is what those words are. I will put that in the That's Donna DeLore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is who I'm talking about, the Sanctuary gal.
Oh, yeah. The Sanctuary is a beautiful, beautiful song. And that Sanctuary and then Donna DeLore, Bathe in These Waters, are two really, really holy songs that when you are taking your bath to an 11, using your language.
Thank you.
You know, again, like, how do you have a sacred bath, right? Mm-hmm. One, what is song? It's sound vibration, right? So make sure that you're ingesting or nourishing yourself with sacred sound and not eating junk food, right?
So note to self, this doesn't mean Snickers and Netflix in the tub. That's not.
Although Snickers are delightful, and
it's a different kind of bath, is the point.
It is, but we're talking about ritual bath, right?
Yes, like, this is my point.
Yeah, and especially like even like being intentional about, you know, like the steps that you're taking, and then even like while you're in the bath and you're doing the things and you're connecting to the salt, the water, the heat, you know, all of it. And then like imagine like this, that again, like this beautiful in the meditation today, that vibrant violet healing light.
Oh my gosh, that was so great. Oh yes.
Right? Just sealing your body, all the wounds, you know, like the nectar going into the crevices or the darkness and just filling it with that beautiful healing light. And then when you unplug the tub, imagine it all releasing.
Yes. Well, I actually have a mantra that I say, I'm releasing all that no longer serves me or my higher purpose. I wash it all away so I may start anew with intentional focus on peace, prosperity, and purpose. And so it is. And so I say that as the water. And so to your point, like, where can you add in a little bit of ritual and honor the Kuan Yin in you, right? Is it the way you move the water around? You know, I'm all about the clockwise.
Yes, clockwise to manifest. Counterclockwise to get rid of.
To be gone, evil spirit, negative thought, you know, this, like, there, but I usually, when I'm in the bath,
yeah,
it is about this manifesting, right? It's about mm-hmm. nourishing. And so where, what you're doing, you don't have to do all the things.
No, just take a little piece of what serves you. And anybody out there who's freaking out about the word ritual, I'm going to break it down to you. What is the root of spiritual? Ritual. Right? It's about being intentional or ritualistic. And what is a ritual? A repeated action, you know, done with intention.
Oh my gosh, you're like reading the words off my cards. These are the wild ritual intentions deck.
Oh, that's so funny. I never even saw that before. But that's what it is, right? But you're doing it with your soul, right?
Yes. Well, again, you know, like, the where people get off track is usually related to organized religion. Yet organized religion has a ton of rituals. They just,
it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's craziness. That's the beauty of being a sentient being and having the choice to either stay where you are or to open yourself up, to open your mind, open your heart, and nourish not only your body with food, but your mind with all of this amazing wisdom and lesson and learning and meeting and greeting these different archetypes inside of who you are. Just for those of you out there who do the DISC assessment, it ain't no different.
That's right. I mean, that's it.
No different.
It's deeper understanding of what is driving us, right?
Yes. All right, sister. Again, we are like way over an hour, but you know, our community pretty much knows now, like, take us in snack size bites while you're walking over the next week. And we look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. Ooh, I haven't looked yet. Let's see, next Tuesday. Can you hear the crows? They are going wild.
Can you hear my chirping? Because I need to change my battery in my smoke detector.
Oh no, I don't hear that. We're doing our Avalon priestesses.
The journeys to Avalon. That is the Avalon Mystery School, which are awesome. So we'll have our retreats. We'll bill it as a 3-day retreat, but because we are so chatty, it'll actually be 4 days. So
I love it. And for those of you who are like, when is that going to happen? We actually are researching dates. We're looking at March for
2022.
Yes, for 2022, and then July 2022 We are going to manifest being in the south of France for Mary Magdalene's feast day. You heard it here.
Yes, we're going to go to the cave.
I'm going to take my lotus mudra.
And oh, we
I'm
didn't gonna, do that yoga. Okay.
I did it. Oh, I was doing it. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay, oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, yes. And again, here's take the lotus flower, right? Open and receptive. And then you seal your intention. And then you bring it to your head for good thoughts, your lips for good words, and your heart for pure intention.
I love it.
Namaste, sweet friend.
Namaste. Bye, everyone. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for spilling the tea with Molly and me today. It was our heart's desire to provide a lens for focus, a place to uncover the opportunities that abound, and create a moment to embrace grace and gratitude as we celebrate the beauty that is swirling all around us. To connect with us, head on over to our current collaboration site, moxieonfire.com, and sign up for updates. That's moxieonfire.com. Let's all go forth and lead with love, trust, and faith.